Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. It's so glad to have you tuning in either on YouTube or your favorite audio platform. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate GFA Missions sponsoring this. So today we're addressing something every pastor and every leader faces, but few are prepared for. And today, Pastor Dale Cunningham is joining me to handle this topic, criticism. Again, we face it. We're not prepared for it. Criticism can come through emails, conversations, anonymous letters, public settings. And Dale, this criticism deeply affects all of us, our wives, our ministries. So I appreciate you tackling this with us today. And we're going to talk about really how to handle criticism biblically and wisely. And I think I'm just going to ask Dale a series of questions. Many of you know Dale is a retired pastor. Well, you tell them, Dale. What are you and Denise doing? Tell them who you are, where you've been, in case they don't know you.
Well, for 40 years, I was a senior pastor. I grew up in a pastor's home. And just in the last 2.5 years, have stepped aside from a senior pastor role because the Lord burdened Denise and my heart to come alongside and encourage pastors and their wives. And so the Lord has set us out on the road. We our main goal is to minister to pastors, but we're doing a lot of speaking, marriage conferences, family conference, Christ Life conferences, retreats. Yeah. And what I love about it, just quickly, is that we get to be on that pastor and wife's home turf. And it just that we get to know them, we get to know their congregation. And it's just been a wonderful journey. I'm telling you, we both are absolutely loving this season of our life right now.
Yeah, D&D Ministries. And I think part of this, the reason I wanted Dale to handle this topic is because he can talk as a pastor from experience. He's not currently pastoring a church, so no one can try to identify who he's talking about. And secondly, he talks to a lot of pastors that are facing this. So again, I just want to, the first part of this, Dale, I want us to talk about really understanding criticism. I want us to think through it. And so I guess my question for you is this: every pastor remembers the first time he truly received criticism. So Dale, did you expect it when you entered ministry? And tell us a little bit about how young pastors should not be caught off guard by criticism. So run with that if you could. Did you expect it when that first critic came to you?
Well, having grown up in a pastor's home, I knew that it came with the territory.
Okay.
And I didn't follow in my dad's footsteps. I wouldn't. Daddy called and mama sent. I just knew that's what God wanted me to do, is to get into the ministry.
Okay.
And so even though I had seen my dad criticized, even at one point, I saw a school principal stand between my dad and a deacon and keep them from getting into a fight.
Wow.
So I've seen some really interesting things, and I'm not throwing up on my dad because he would tell you this as well, because it was a change of ministry, a philosophy in his ministry later on. But anyway, but still, when it happened to me, it was like I had never experienced criticism before in my life. Mm. Because previously it was against my dad.
Right.
Now, I didn't like it because it was against my dad, but now it's against me. And it's very difficult to not take it personally. It's like it's an attack. And even sometimes it can be from someone who is well-meaning.
Yeah. And I'm going to get you, we're going to lay out the different types of criticism in a few minutes. Do you remember the first criticism you had as a pastor? Do you remember that?
Well, I really do not. Okay. I will say, though, that The first church that I pastored, I walked into that ministry being the fifth pastor in 4 years. Whoa. And I'm 25 years old. And didn't realize that the church was split.
Okay.
And so, quite frankly, I can't remember the first, but I do distinctly remember criticism for 3 years was the name of the game. Because okay. you're playing both sides.
All right. Respond to this statement, Dale, and it's not original by me, but especially to our younger men that are may facing their first crisis or their first major critic or are preparing to enter. This is a quote, criticism is not a sign of failure. It's a normal part of shepherding. So as we try to understand criticism, again, criticism is not a sign of failure. It's a normal part of shepherding. Run with that, Dale. Give us some feedback on that comment.
Well, a leader, as soon as he signs up, he better understand that he's going to face criticism. And God uses it to accomplish many things in the pastor's life. And if nothing else, it should drive him to his knees.
Right.
What's easy is to take it personal and feel like that you are a failure. And you know what? You probably did fail. There's that old statement, there's a little bit of truth in every criticism. There's something you need to step back from.
Mm-hmm.
And so for young guys in particular, oh, how marvelous it would be that instead of, and just first of all, saying it's going to happen, they'll be surprised. Number two, when it does, I'm not going to react. I'm going to simply recognize my identity in Christ,
amen.
Understand that I need to learn from this, that this is a growth moment in my life and not somebody tearing me down. And let me say this, yes, you will always have people along the ministry journey who feel like it's their gift to, you know, keep you humble.
Yeah. All right. So again, laying the foundation, understanding criticism, we must understand is part of shepherding.
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, men, young men, older men, be aware of it. I think we know that Christ said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. We know the criticism Moses had, we know the criticism of David, and we also know Christ was criticized so often. So criticism will come. All right, so let me ask you this. So I think we're pastors, you know, when we get into pastoring. So Dale, my next question is, why does criticism hurt the pastor so deeply?
Well, if any pastor loves his people and he makes investments in their lives and he cares for them,
right,
then it's going to hurt him when the people that he has poured his life into turn around and stab you in the back, so to speak. Or they don't like something you've done, and you find yourself saying, well, I thought they liked me. I thought they loved me. Because ministry is, all right, this is what it is. You just lay yourself out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said jokingly over the years, extemporaneous speaking it levels on pure foolishness, and we know we talk about the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, whatever. But I mean, you get up there and you're going to say something and you can't retract it, but it's just a little window into all of ministry. If you're going to be the pastor that God would have you to be, you've got to make investments in the lives of your people and take risks.
Yep.
Because it's the entering into the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And something that you've noted, Marsh, it can feel like it's rejection. Mm-hmm. That's why we must stop and consider, not react and attack the person, but to simply say, okay, if I believe in a sovereign God, he's permitted this individual to come into my life. And this may sound rosy, but I'm telling you, this is how we've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so therefore, instead of it eating me up and retaliating, I need to step back, stop and say, okay, God, what are you teaching me? And I'll even say this, to look at that individual and say, thank you for what you've shared. Will you pray with me about this right now? That I'll come to understand what it is that I'm missing here. Because here is one important truth, Marsh. In reference to criticism, we as pastors have got to understand we all have blind spots.
We do.
And it may be the mercy of God, the grace of God, through that critic, that God is revealing something that's going to help me down the road and to knock out of me what doesn't look like Christ.
That's good. And I think, and just piggybacking on what you said, so to us as shepherds, under shepherds, ministry is personal, it's not professional.
That's exactly right.
And as you were talking about loving your sheep and that, so I think that's what makes it so difficult is that we take this as personal because it is personal. We're not hirelings. We're under shepherds, and that's what makes
that's
it so
right.
hard. All right, so let's think about, let's try to put some this criticism. And again, I love what you said because I know in the critics in my life, there is a spirit of truth. I mean, there's some truth in what they're saying. It's just maybe the way they're saying it. It could be a little better. But so just comment on these, Dale. So most people put criticism in four categories. One would be constructive criticism. Okay, that can be helpful, right? That can be true. All right, but so you've already addressed that. But let's address these others. Misguided criticism is sincere, but it's unfounded.
So at that point, again, you have to look at that individual and realize what your identity is and that this individual doesn't know all the facts. But I still am exhorted to love my enemy, to pray for them that despitefully use me. And I know they're sincere and they're uninformed. They don't know all of what's going on. But instead of taking that misguided critic and it being an offense, ask God to help you. How can I disciple this individual?
There you go.
Through this.
Yeah.
Will you meet with me? There's some things, you know, sir, I really appreciate what you're saying. I think there's some other things that I'd love to share with you in my heart, not to defend, but just to share. Would you be willing to meet with me at Chick-fil-A and let's just talk through this together?
Yep. And I think part of this, Dale, and I think we've all experienced, or if you young men, if you haven't, you will. There is a critic who will not have all the information and may never be able to be given all that information.
Right.
And this is where your patience, your willingness to meet with them may help them grow. Even though it's misguided, you can turn it into something good. All right, so you got four categories, constructive,
let me just mention something right there that I remember going through a church discipline situation several years ago. And criticism came toward me, but I couldn't share everything.
Right.
Okay. So that's where you have to trust in the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, and stay above board and don't take it to heart emotionally and as a, as something against you. You have to stand for what's right.
Yeah. And these situations will come
later, but right at that moment, that's not the proper time.
Yeah. Good. Good. All right, then I'll give you two more and you can comment. So constructive, helpful but and true, misguided, sincere, but right, they just don't have the information. Selfish criticism, that's a preference driven, and then malicious criticism is really intended to harm. So how do you, in the latter two, Dale, when you receive someone just, you know, they're mad because you showed favor to somebody or they appeared to show favor or... You know, you got the malicious criticism. I think that's what's so hard.
Yes.
When someone is out to hurt you or your family or your wife or your children. So what I'm saying is we can't treat all criticism the same.
No.
Is that fair to say?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Okay, so as we deal with this, you have any, I mean, I want to make sure that as we receive criticism, then we understand, all right, is this correct? Okay, how do we deal with this? And then we're not going to treat it equally. So let's just go to the last one. So, Dale, when there was malicious criticism against you, Denise, or your kids or your children, how did you – you got some ideas for our guys on this one?
Well, this – I'm going to give you an example, and this is only by the grace of God. I remember a deacon reaming out my oldest daughter outside the church one Sunday at a church fellowship. And I didn't know about it until later on. And the scenario was, this was a great opportunity to teach our daughters and to learn ourselves how we respond as Jesus did to malicious attacks.
Okay.
Because from a dad's perspective, he didn't lay a hand on her. His words were corrupt communication. But to talk with him and to share with him what he had done, but also to ask and pray for them and ask my family, let's take the high road here.
Amen.
And you know what happened is that man later on began to reveal what he really was. Mm. And see, here's the hard thing. My old deceitful heart, my pride, I want to get back at that individual. I want my pound of flesh, because you took this out on my child.
Sure.
And so it's hard to take the high road. Mm. But we will quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and 7 for all of our ministry life. But it applies to the malicious gossip.
Right.
And don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord.
All right, so let's talk about responding. All right, we've got a grasp on what criticism is, but this is where it gets, where the rubber meets the road. So, Dale, when you think about what should our biblical response be when criticism comes?
Well, again, I have to stop and every day remind myself I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And I, as that criticism comes, I've got to respond as Jesus would in humility. I do not, and here's something so crucial. Just because I have the word pastor in front of my name does not mean that I deserve to be treated the best,
right,
or to not be criticized.
Right.
I don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. Mm-hmm. So the goodness of God that we even get to pastor a church. So I must respond out of my own identity. I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Therefore, that leads to humility. And then, as James tells us, I need to be quick to hear. And I'll throw this word in.
Come on.
And
come
not
on.
Respond. It's so hard. I want to build my defense.
Yeah.
And I think one of the disarming things in criticism is if I will accept it and say, thank you. Can we, as I mentioned a while ago, can we pray about this? Will you pray for me? Well, I don't want to pray for you right now. Well, can I pray for you right now? That God will give us, we'll see the truth. And we'll understand. You know, I did not handle criticism very well. But here's what's interesting, Marsh. You asked me my first one. I don't remember many of them now.
Right.
That's the grace of God.
Amen. It is.
But boy, I sure learned from them.
All right. So we know the way we respond. James 1, right? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So we got to hear it. You mentioned that. Proverbs 18:13. What do we do? Answer before we hear.
Yeah.
Before we got all the facts. And again, Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents spirit, the wise holds it back. And one is put it like this. So our first emotional response to a critic is the most dangerous moment.
Exactly.
the most dangerous moment in a pastor's life, or I shouldn't say the most, but a very dangerous moment in a pastor's life is that moment when you respond to the critic. And if we can be slow to speak, yet swift to hear. I was talking to a pastor, and they were going through some conflict. And one of the men in conflict with him brought up an incident that happened years ago. And all the pastor did was slam his hand down on the ground, on the desk. And then he immediately asked forgiveness for it. But that first response, Dale, and we got to be conditioned ourselves just to pause. Is that fair? Is it, can we train ourselves to do that? You got any words of admonition for that?
You know, that's something that I've been even thinking about today. And that is that for us as pastors, most of us, our mode of ministry is foot to the accelerator, and we never let it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ask a pastor, how's it going? Busy. I'm just busy. All right. I say that to say this. We don't know how to be still. Mm. We make a living talking, but we need to learn how to be still. Mm. And I don't remember who it was that said this. I want to say it was Nancy Lee DeMoss who said, never miss an opportunity to not open your mouth.
That's good. Yeah.
And so, and these criticisms will often come, Marsh, at a moment when you least expect it.
Sure.
Especially having just finished a message and you're standing at the back door, perhaps, and you're greeting people.
Yeah.
Boom. There it is.
Yeah.
And emotionally you're spent. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to take it personal at that moment. So therefore, as even this podcast, we're trying to help guys to be prepared on the front end rather than having to clean up the rubbish on the back end.
Yeah. All right. So let's go into this. And you've already brought this up, but I want to go to the next point here. So how do we talked about this, responding biblically. So how do we as pastors evaluate the criticism honestly? And you've already brought it up over and over. You mentioned the word humility, okay? And we know to evaluate honestly, first, we've got to be humble, right?
Yes.
All right, because we do know that faith are the wounds of a friend, okay? And we do know that you know, we are to say, search me, O God, right? I mean, we've got to do that. And we must understand that we got to be able to say, can we honestly say, Lord, is there any truth in this? So as we're trying to evaluate this thing biblically, are we willing to say, Lord, is there any truth in this? So Dale, how can pastors prevent from being defensive? Now, you've already brought up humility, but is it simply that pause? Is it simply not answering immediately? Is it, you know, because let's just go back to the hallway. I mean, unexpected, you know, you're not sitting behind, but you're walking in the hall, you finished either, you're on the way to preach, on the way back from preaching or something. So when we're least prepared to receive a critic and it comes, how can I avoid being, what can I make myself be trained to do to not be defensive?
Well, again, it goes back to that quieting of your soul, of your heart, of meeting with the Lord. Right. I'm telling you, we as pastors, because we push, and we're always trying to get things accomplished, that when there needs to be that response of quietness from our own heart, it's not there because we've not been cultivating that in our life prior to it.
Wow, that's good.
And then thirdly, and that is perhaps say to the individual, thank you for sharing that. Mm. Can we discuss this after the service?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this maybe tomorrow? I'm not brushing you off, but this is, it's time for the service to begin, and I need to go ahead and be in there. Will you be so kind to allow me to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. And there even, all right. So I think you've brought this up more than once. So I think number one, don't ignore it. I mean, we'll get to Christ did ignore some critics. But what I'm saying, when someone comes up, go ahead and address it and say, can we meet to talk about this, right?
Yes.
That's not, it's just a chance to be able to hear well. You are delaying it, but you're not ignoring it. Is that a fair way to put it, Dale?
Yes, and I think something needs to be said at this juncture, too.
Okay.
Usually, criticism is just the surface of a lot of stuff going on in that person's heart down here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it this way. I believe this is the truth. Whatever that criticism is at that moment cannot be handled biblically and conclusively in the moment.
Yeah.
We have got to be willing to say, look, let's go to prayer about this, or let's meet later on. Let's see, what would the Lord have us to do here? I'm overwhelmed just having, I'm in Deuteronomy right now. How many times Moses was criticized?
Oh, yeah.
And how many times he interceded
for
the people, and even Aaron criticized him.
Yep.
And in Numbers 16, I believe it is, that Aaron then gets criticized and Moses takes up for him.
Yes. Does. Yeah.
So there is that moment when it happens to realize, okay, maybe it can be handled right then, but I don't think it's a discipleship moment.
It is. All right. So as we move on to see the way Christ handled critics. All right. So we know Matthew 22, what happened? He answered them.
Yes.
Okay. Matthew 27, he remained silent. Matthew 23, he corrected the critics, and in Luke 23, he ignored the critics. Okay, now, there is a key difference between us and Jesus. He had perfect knowledge, and
right.
We don't.
Right.
So, I get, but what there is, what I'm trying to say is, and Dale, comment on this, not every criticism deserves maybe a lunch meeting to go down, you know, to deal with it, right?
Correct.
So you need the wisdom and discernment on how to handle it. And understanding each criticism, some of it may not need to be responded to. You just make it say, thank you for saying that. But you've got to be ready to deal with it if it gets deeper. Is that fair? Am I being too vague on that?
You're spot on there, yes. And I still say this, that when it comes, even if you can say, thank you. I needed that.
Yeah.
Don't defend yourself.
There you go.
Let God take care of that.
Yeah.
He knows all the facts. He knows the heart of that individual. You be a man of integrity and of compassion and a heart of love, a shepherding heart for that individual, because there's a lot more going on, as I mentioned a while ago, in that life than just that criticism. It may be coming from someone who really loves you and cares for you.
Yeah.
I had a deacon chairman back in our early years here, and I knew that he loved me and he cared for me. But boy, howdy, was he ever honest with me.
Mm.
And sometimes it stung.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that he was willing to lovingly, so there was, that's the good side of criticism, and even though it hurt, but yet I've learned from those who maliciously criticized, so.
All right, I think, and then I'll get you to comment on this, I'll give an example. I think there's a point we mature, and as we mature, we learn better how to guard our hearts against the criticism and work it for positive, like you said. I mean, we had in our ministry, there was both of them with the Lord now, but a couple, older couple in our church, and this was her scenario. She wanted to talk to me, wanted to criticize me about my preaching. So said, well, her typical thing was, how about me and my husband and you and Gretchen go to lunch on Monday? So Dale, that was the invitation. And the first time, it caught me by surprise. And then the second, the third, the fourth, you know, well, Gretchen, I said, she's just trying to love me. You know, so when we've got to guard our hearts and commit ourselves to the great judge, not seek vengeance. But we got to understand that if we guard our hearts in such a way, and you've said it more than once, then we can turn around and be a blessing to our critics by the way we disciple them or talk to them or receive their criticism. So, pastors, I just want to encourage you, and Dale's mentioned this, we've got to guard our hearts in such a way that we are not, we don't become bitter or anger or vengeful. And I think one person put this way, that the process of criticism, first we got to go vertically with the Lord before we go horizontally. Any other comments? I mean, you've been addressing this all along. Anything else you want to say to that?
I guess it's just because it's on the front burner of my heart right now, but that pastors were struggling in many areas, and especially in regard to the issue of criticism, because we're not laying that all out before the Lord in the morning. We're not growing in the faith that way, that quiet time. And so we're on edge. We're living on edge. Let me also say this, that there is the need of real patience in ministry. God is so long-suffering with us. But I do believe that there are times when that critic, like you just mentioned a while ago, or someone who just, they just feel like that they're God's gift to keep you in line. You may need to lovingly say to them, that's enough.
Yeah, there is that time.
And that is something, though, that's got to be prayed about.
Yes.
And I don't mean just one time. I mean, it's something you need to seek the heart of God about, because this person, albeit they may feel like they're that gift of God to keep you in line, they are still his child.
All right, so as we are responding biblically and wisely, so let's get into maybe just some wisdom issues here. So, Dale, at what point, so you listen, you've already talked, we listen humbly, you know, we pray about it, we evaluate ourselves in humility, but there may be a time to seek counsel from a third person. All right, did you have any guidelines in your life, or any, was anything that said, okay, it's time to ask a third person about this? So, because there are those, that the critic is either with me, if it got to be a, wait a minute, are they saying I'm not qualified? You know, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. That's when I would go. What did you have any guidelines in your life when you'd bring a third party in? Not to mediate between you and the critic. I'm just talking about to bounce it off of somebody that knows you well. Not your wife, but somebody else.
Yeah, it's very wise that if this thing is ongoing, or it is a criticism of your character of some degree, that another man be brought in, another, and to just simply allow them to listen and to weigh in on it. I did that way back, and it's very helpful because, see, again, we have blind spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we need somebody who is grounded, somebody who is neutral, who wants to point both of us to the biblical position.
There you go.
Now, I will say this. I've also had it happen to me, and it was the other way. So you got to be careful who you choose.
That's true. Okay. All right. And the last two things I want you to cover, because I mean, I feel like we've been bouncing all over the place, but there's just so much. This gets so personal and it hits so hard. All right. Let me ask this, Dale. So what role does a pastor's wife play in helping him process criticism? How can you ask your wife to help you process it without her taking on that offense personally? Okay, so just talk to us a little bit about maybe, you know, when you would talk to Denise, how you would talk to her to help you understand the criticism, and maybe were there certain things that you would guard her heart from even hearing about?
You know, our wives, go through these trials, these criticisms twice. They go through it themselves, and then they go through it as the wife of the pastor.
Yeah.
And so I would often not share some things with her, so that because it's hard to help her to keep from getting emotionally bound into it, and therefore protecting my wife from sin, the temptation of sin. And so I have to just say that I'm grateful for a wife who is a prayer warrior. She really is. And I found her just stopping sometimes with me and saying, let's pray about that individual. Mm. And I thank the Lord for that, that kept me. And then sometimes she would ask me questions. Now, so on my part, I would not tell her everything. I would say, we've got an issue. I was criticized about this. And then I would look at her and say, all right, what do you see in this criticism? Mm. Because my wife is very discerning. and I need her, and I know she's my friend, and I know she supports me. So, hon, what are you seeing in this? Is this true? Am I failing here? You know, whatever.
All right. I wanted two more things, and we'll land this. Let's talk about long-term dangers if pastors don't deal with it. Okay. Long-term dangers if we don't handle criticism biblically. That's what I mean by dealing with it. Bitterness, isolation, emotional withdrawal, loss of joy in ministry. You deal with pastors all the time. Right now, I want you to speak to a young pastor going through criticism for a major criticism for the first time. And right now, bitterness is setting in. He's withdrawing from his wife. He's withdrawing from the ministry. There is no joy. So, Dale, what would you say to this young man?
Well, it's interesting because I've had some conversations along this line recently. And that is, I would say to the young man, first of all, do not take it personally. Realize that there is something that you can learn from this. And I would ask him, have you prayed about this? And what passages of scripture are you using to keep your heart and mind fixed on Christ instead of the critic and the criticism? Mm. You cannot change a person's heart. You can't change their life. But you can use this criticism to change you.
Amen.
As Christ is working out his life in you. And furthermore, I want you to understand that as a young man, you're going to have to go through the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ as you wear his sandals and carry his towel and preach his word and you love people. It's going to happen because none of us deserve any better treatment than Jesus did. But always operate out of that neither life nor death nor principalities nor things present nor height nor depth, anything can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
In the moment that you feel like you want to just give it up, confess your bitterness, confess your cynicism, confess your pride, thank God for his forgiveness, and bask in his love.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to wrap it up with this. Brother Dale, criticism reveals whether my identity is in Christ or in my ministry.
That's a whole nother podcast right there, brother.
But this is a good one to land this podcast on. So tell people why. Tell all our pastors, our older pastors, remind them, our younger pastors, instruct them that how criticism affects us, why it affects us so deeply. But the question is, where is my, and criticism may prove to me my identity is in my ministry and not in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so exhort our young man. Or let's put it like this. Right now, a young man is on the verge of quitting because of his critics. So, Dale, would you just take the closing minutes to encourage him that his identity is in Christ and not in his ministry?
I'm thinking in a hypothetical situation of a pastor who is the only pastor of that church. He doesn't have a large congregation, mm-hmm. and he's going through the mill right now.
Yeah.
It's rough, and he wants to bail out. At that moment, he needs to step back. And I say to you as a young pastor, step back and realize it's not who and what you are, but who and what Christ is.
That's right.
The truth is, the attack that's coming at you is a is often a fleshly and a satanic attack. And it's not you they hate, it's the Christ in you. And so therefore, realize that your identity is not shaped by whether you are successful in that pastoral role of the church, whatever you think success looks like. If you look at worldly metrics, Jesus was not a success.
That's right.
They all forsook him and fled, and then he dies. Mm-hmm. But you and I are going to have to walk the same road in the fellowship of his sufferings, mm-hmm. being made conformable unto his death. Mm-hmm. And even Jesus learned by obedience. Mm-hmm. And so we must trust in the Lord, and realize that he's the issue and I'm not. Here's one vital truth. It's so easy for us as a pastor to think we're the center of the universe. There's only one person that God said would be the apex of history and the center of the universe, and his name is Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
So therefore, surrender. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And find yourself meditating more on the Savior than on the critic.
There we go.
And ask the Lord to help you know how to help the critic, to love the critic, and even your wife to be able to do the same thing.
Amen.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Ministry is hard.
Yeah.
But friends, we're running for the Bema, and we want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to say to any of you young pastors, if I may take just a moment, I remember years ago, a man after 18 years drove from a state far away to meet with me. And he got out of his car and he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I've driven all this way to meet with you. I did you so dirty, and I've come to ask you to forgive me.
Wow.
Which leads, none of us as pastors, Mars, deserve to be vindicated. Not a one of us. But sometimes our sweet Lord comes along and allows something like that to happen.
Amen. Amen. And I think our goal is not to avoid criticism. But our goal is to respond in a way that pleases Christ and honors him. And I think you've made that very plain. All right. Dale Cunningham, thank you.
Thank you much.
There's a pastor and his critics book by Joel Beakey. It's a good one on this if you're looking for resources, men.
It sure is.
Yep. Look up D&D Ministries, Dale Cunningham. Be sure and email him. He loves talking to pastors and praying with you. So anything we can do, but we don't want the critic to trace you out of ministry. Remember, it's a tool God uses to refine us. And sometimes that refining fire gets hot, but that's what changes us. So thanks for talking about this difficult topic. I appreciate your ministry and all that you do. Again, Dale Cunningham, D&D Ministries, Dale and Denise do a fantastic job of supporting the work of Christ. And we at GFA, if we can be of any assistance to you, we want to help you. mfant@gfamissions.org, and you can find Dale on the internet as well. Get in touch with him. Again, it's a privilege to have you, Brother Cunningham, and appreciate your ministry to us today.
Thank you, Mark. It's always a sweet, blessed time to be with you, friend.
Amen.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.